This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Imagine being part of a high school marching band. You're a musician, a drum major, a flag girl, or a majorette. You march across a vast green football field. You hear the cheers, the conductor, the drums are throbbing, your heart is beating out of your chest. It is thrilling. North Carolina's legendary Hillside Marching Hornets have been sharing this thrill for more than six decades, and generations of Durham families have marched with the Hornets. The band is easily the pride and joy of Hillside High School. One Band Indivisible is a new documentary that follows a year in the life of the Hillside Marching Hornets. Rhonda Kulvansky is the director of One Band Indivisible. Bland it is not. Band Indivisible it is. And Rhonda Kulvansky, welcome to the program, director of the film. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Xavier Kaysen is the former band director of Hillside Marching Hornets. He currently teaches at Bethesda Elementary School in Durham. Xavier Kaysen, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have
Glad
you here.
Glad to be here.
Also with us, Brittany Birch, a former Hillside student with the Hillside Marching Hornets, now the Assistant Youth Arts Coordinator at the Carrboro Arts Center. Brittany, good to have you here as well.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about this, because Rhonda, I know we all know the marching band, and we've been, you know, we've grown up around it, people from the area. You are originally from South Africa. So tell us how you came to the story and what you first thought when you heard this band.
Well, Frank, I'd recently moved to the United States, and I went to the fabulous Durham Christmas Parade and saw the band march. And I had never seen any marching bands. I had never been to an American parade, for that matter. And I couldn't believe what I saw. It was incredible. They just dazzled me. I got hooked. It didn't take very long.
And so tell us about this film. What did you decide to do, and what have you put together here?
Well, I had some contacts, and I went to see Mr. Kaysen to ask him how he'd feel about me filming the band. And he agreed. And I decided to film an observational documentary, make an observational documentary about the band, about the students in the band, really.
And so, Xavier, Rhonda talks about sort of not having seen this kind of thing, having come from South Africa. We think of the marching band as a kind of a universal and, sort of perennial fixture of the American high school scene, the American scene. In fact, it's only been with us. It's a kind of a post-World War II phenomenon, isn't it? Tell us about it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. After World War II, there were many military bands serving here and abroad. And once that service was over and they left the military, those instruments were laying around. Most of those got donated to high schools across the country.
So tell us about Hillside and the history, its history with its marching band, the Hornets.
Hillside's marching band history is, as far as I can tell in research, I know it goes back at least to the mid-40s after the World War. And they have really been a fixture of this community and have done some big things outside. I mean, the two times that presidents have visited Durham, Hillside band was called upon, for instance, to play for them.
And it's not just that it's been around for a long time. The families, it's a family thing. Families have been involved in this since the beginning of the 40s, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's very difficult for me to go through the community and not be recognized by someone who said, that was in the band.
Now, Brittany, your family goes back. You were in the band, right?
Yes, sir.
So tell us about your involvement in the band and your family as well, right?
Yes. Well, coming up, I have an older sister. She was a majorette in the band. And her best friend was a rifle girl. In those years, we had rifle girls. So coming up, I was around them, and I would go to practices with them, and it would just look so exciting. You would see all the people when they're in the parade. You see all the people, and you're just hollering, yay! And so I was one of those people, so I always said, I'm going to Hillside. That is where I'm going. That's where all my family went. My freshman year, I thank Mr. Kaysen, I did not come out of middle school knowing how to play an instrument. So my freshman year in high school, he allowed me to be in the band and learn how to play the flute. From that, I went on, I became a flag girl. And my senior year, I got the lead student position, which is the program director.
So you can work your way up. This right. Family thing is something that you capture very well in the film, Rhonda. I want to let us hear Michael Watson, who's in the film, talk about his involvement and how important family is to him.
Like my granddaddy said, if once a task has begun, never leave it until it's done. Be the labor great or small or do it well or not at all. And I've always lived by that since I've been a young kid, when my granddaddy first taught it to me.
This is a big collage of my family.
This is my cousin, Claver. He was drumline captain at Hillside and drumline captain at Central. This is my mother, Van Watson. She played clarinet for 2 years, and then she was a flat girl for 2 years. Then you have me, and this is a picture of me from my freshman year, my first year being a part of Hillside's band.
There we go. That's Michael Watson, who is in the film One Band Indivisible. It's a film directed and produced by Rhonda Klavansky. She's here with us. Xavier Kaysen is here as well, who was the band director at the time the film was made. What kind of pressure does that put on you to know that this is not just a band? This is a band that everybody in town knows about and goes back generations.
Well, when I was band director at North Carolina State University, I was training band directors, and I would tell them, your first job, go to a small school where you can build. Don't ever follow a legend. And I walked into the footsteps of a legend, Mr. Clark Edgerton, who had worked at Hillside for 31 years and really had, Mardi Gras, has been on Oprah. I mean, great things. So I was honored that they would even think of me to help keep that going. But it was a lot of pressure. But the kids wanted more than I did. So that took. Really, the pressure was on them more so than me.
That was one of the interesting things in the film. You did a lot of coaching, and you sound a lot like a football coach in terms of the physical demands, the discipline, all that goes into it. But then the kids take over, and they sounded a lot more ruthless than you did when it came to what we need to do to get this thing done.
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that. Unlike a football coach, I am a conductor. So when I have my concert band, I'm on stage. I have the power on the baton. And it's really hard for someone who does that to step back and let the kids take over for the marching side. But then that's the best part of it, actually, because then you know whether you've taught them well.
Brittany, what about that? I mean, it's one thing to learn the flute, as you did, from the ground up. But then there's these leadership skills that seem so obvious to me. I mean, did you feel pressure to take control and to take some responsibility for how this band was going to perform?
I did. From being in the band and watching all the other captains that were before me and working with Mr. Kaysen and Ms. Hydeman, I did see pressure. Once you're in it, though, Mr. Kaysen and Ms. Hydeman are always behind you 100%. So they don't ever throw you to the wolves and you just don't know what you're doing. They're going to give you some kind of outline of, okay, let's start with this and then evolve to something else. So at first, knowing that I had the program director position, it was really like, oh no, he really believes in me. I can't like screw this up. So I have to make sure I get everything in line. But it came easier to know that you weren't the only student position. You have other students that are having a position of authority too. And those positions would come together and help each other also. So it the band really helped with responsibility.
That's such a powerful thing to say. He really believes in me. I can't screw this up. The connection between that kind of faith and your ability to step up to a job versus other kinds of, ways of getting people to do your will.
Right.
It's a brilliant thing to say, and I'm glad you said it here. So what about for you, Rhonda? So you're coming to this as an outsider. It's a mystery to you. What are you learning along the way? What are the sort of the big surprises and discoveries for you?
Well, I knew nothing about Durham's communities. I knew nothing about the divided nature of Durham's communities. So I really have to thank the band for accepting me in as a filmmaker, because I didn't realize that's a really big thing in Durham and in this community. And I learned really that the kids are pretty extraordinary. I was surprised at how technical it was. I was surprised by how much music they had to learn. They have to learn to read music, and then they have to learn to memorize it.
And they have to learn to read it while they're moving.
Right.
That always strikes me as impossible. I'm sorry. I wasn't in the band, so, I just can't stay focused like that.
Right. And I think that's a big thing. I think that's the thing that was very compelling, in fact, is how focused the students are. And the leadership that grows out of the band, I think that was really, really amazing to me. And I really enjoyed seeing it as a family and a big community. And to my amazement, the band took me in as part of the family. And that kept me going. when I was thinking, I'm going to stop this. This film's getting too much. I was thinking, no.
Because they believed in you and
exactly.
You couldn't screw it up. You see, that's what families do when everything's working right. So the divided nature she's talking about, Xavier, is a school district that was segregated. Unlike a lot of other school districts, when desegregation came along, Hillside had been the black high school here and it remained open, and that was different. And so tell us about that and maybe the impact. Does that have any effect on the band and the legacy of this band?
Absolutely. Here again, not only having generational students whose families had been a part of it, but the community really has looked at that school as something unique. And I went to an elementary school that was actually C.S. Brown, the first black high school in the state. And by the time I got to it, it was an elementary school. And that, as you say, has been the case for most of them. So keeping it true to its roots has been something that the community is very proud of. And the students know that. They know it coming in. A lot of them are coming from other parts of the district and are using the magnet programs because they always wanted to be at Hillside, no matter where they really live in the city.
It is a shining example. And the role that the parents play, too, is a pretty powerful part of this. A part of this story, fundraising is a big thing. And Brittany, I think you tell the story about not realizing how important it was for what your parents were doing behind the scenes to keep this whole thing going, right? Talk about that.
Absolutely. From being there, we did have a lot to focus on. So going to practices, learning music, memorizing it. And you would, from doing that, I don't want to say you block it out, but you don't realize what's going on around you. So from watching the film, it put a really good perspective of what the parents were doing when we weren't around. So they were having band parent meetings, talking about how we were going to get new uniforms, so we need to raise this much amount of money. And I remember we used to do a fruit sale. I always remember they would take all of the band and, okay, we're going to sit in the theater. When the truck gets here, you're unloading fruit. I never knew, okay, so where's all this fruit coming from? I understand we got money for it. Who sold all of this? And none of the band members, you would hear the fruit sale being talked about a little bit, but as much fruit that would come in, it's like, wow, we did good. So knowing that, and then the parents would be at the games and, handing out water. Do you need anything? Is your instrument okay? They did so much, and it was amazing. And it just proves that a lot of kids can't do anything on their own. You need that support system behind it.
And there was so much of it. And so here's what you didn't hear, Brittany, while you were busy practicing the flute.
Right.
Here is what the moms were doing.
This is the biggest fundraiser that the band do every year. So it's important that you participate as much as possible. But the bottom line is sell, 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 sell. Because that's the money that helps this band operate. Replace broken equipment, drums, help with the uniforms. It's a family collective thing. Sell for your band because it's their survival.
There you go. Everybody's rooting for the band. And talk about that, because I guess I was surprised to see that you could only get new uniforms every 5 years, right, from the city. Is that right?
And that was, at the time of the filming, that was the case. Since the recession, not the case at all.
Not even that.
Yeah,
you know.
You're pretty much on your own.
I mean, it was funny to see that these kids had been measured 2 years ago for their uniforms. It's like, wait a minute, they're in high school. You can't measure a kid 2 years ago. Tell us a little bit about that, some of the things you found, the behind-the-scenes efforts that helped keep this band together, Rhonda.
Well, there was the unity of the parents in the community. One of the things that one doesn't think about is that the band practices were at 6 a.m., which meant that the parents had to bring the kids to school because there's no bus at that hour. So even that is an enormous amount of dedication on behalf of the family. They were getting up and bringing their kids to school. And then I learned from the parents that it was the kids that were waking up to get the parents out the house to take them to school, which is an interesting reversal.
Yeah, you can eventually get yourself to wake up without an alarm clock, but it's never a lot of fun. And what about the styles, too? Again, getting back to this school as having been a historically African-American school, are there different styles for bands? Are there African-American styles that we would see in marching bands, not in other bands?
Absolutely. There are really three main styles of marching in this country. There's just traditional military style. Then we have a very high energetic high step style, which is what the black band, many of the black bands do. And then there's a core style. When I first got to Hillside, the core style is where the bands roll their feet and it's like they're gliding across the stage and making these elaborate pictures. And that's what Hillside was doing when I got there because there were no competitions in high step. And if Mr. Edgerton wanted to compete, that's what he had to do. So I walked into that and we remained core style for a few years. I did have 2 years where I actually tried to compete in both styles. Not as good because you really have to focus. And so we eventually went to show style. And now there are competitions every week in the months of September, October, November, and December for show style. So it's actually growing as a style.
Core style, C-O-R-P-S.
And, that's right.
And I guess it refers to the fact that you're going to work as a unit to make pictures, you turn on a dime and that kind of thing. And yet in the show style, can I describe it as a higher energy kind of a style?
Absolutely.
And yet, so individuals probably take more responsibility and have to put out more calories to get it done.
Absolutely.
On the other hand, you still have to work as a unit. You can't be off doing what you want.
That's right. The discipline is the key.
So would it be a spoiler alert to tell a little bit about how – should we give a spoiler alert and talk about sort of how things end? Because we're building to the Battle of the Bands, and that's something that Hillside had always, you know, been premier in. And, you know, this was – I think it was an amazing moment in the film when things didn't go as well as everybody hoped, right? And it was about energy, I guess.
It was about energy. I'm glad that Rhonda caught that part because the students – That's something outside of their focus. They think about the music and the marching. I'm thinking about the situation. I'm looking at the big picture at all times. And I knew that once we had won the previous year, we were going to be last. And that's not a place I like. I mean, I want to get there and perform and then relax.
Brittany, what was it like for you now, years later, to watch the film and to see you in it and all that?
It was very exciting. The film was so great. I felt like I was living it again. So I knew what the results would be. But watching the film, I'm on pins and needles like, oh, my gosh, I remember this day. And it was so intense. Seeing my mannerism change. I love that. 17 years old. I was 17 years old when the film was made.
Nobody should see themselves at 17.
What? It was great, though. You know, you get a little, what do they call it? The college, when you gain like 20 pounds when you go to college. But it's okay. It's all right.
Well, now, you know, you're a youth arts coordinator now. Is there anything about that experience that pointed you in this direction?
Everything. From being in a tight family like that, and you get to see, when you're younger, you see what different people go through. You have a different perspective because you're younger and you're their age. Now that I'm a little older and you see what the younger ones are going through, I want to help them. So being at the Art Center and the after-school program, it gives me a chance to help out the youth.
Great experience. Thank you all for sharing it with us. So good to talk with you. Brittany Birch is a former student with Hillside Marching Hornets. She is the Assistant Youth Arts Coordinator at Carborough Arts Center. Brittany, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Our filmmaker is Rhonda Klavansky. She's director of One Band Indivisible. Good to talk with you, Rhonda.
Thanks, Frank.
And the former band director is Xavier Kaysen. He's former band director of the Hillside Marching Hornets, currently teaches at Bethesda Elementary School in Durham. So good to have you here.
Thank you.
The film will be shown in February at the Hayti Heritage Film Festival. And for more information, you can find out at our website, stateofthings.org. Stay with us on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Coming up next, the intersection of social media and public health. Stay tuned.